an LM Communication station.
What is your ideal community? What does your ideal community look like?
How will we create a future that's not just an improvement, but one that is more deeply connected and fulfilling? The answer to that question for me is community.
It's My Town, Your Town, an hour about all the good stuff happening in our community. Good people doing good things, all moving our town forward in a positive way. And now here's the host of My Town, Your Town, Jim Strawn.
And we welcome you into another edition number 14 of My Town, Your Town. It is Friday, August the 4th. We welcome you in however you may be listening, whether you are on the app, the News Talk app, maybe you're on the website, WSCWAM.com, maybe you're on the AM dial, 1410, or maybe you're on the FM dial, 102.3 FM, however you are listening. We welcome you in. We're humbled that you are listening to our show. We love this new show. It's been a wonderful run that we've had the past couple of months. Again, episode number 14, My Town, Your Town, a show about good people, good organizations, good folks moving our town, your town forward in a positive way. Not talking about all the fear and divisiveness and negativity that's out there. We know that's there, but we like to lift up our community and move it forward in a positive way. Another action-packed My Town, Your Town coming your way today. I'm so honored to have our first guest here. He's actually the head coach of the men's basketball program at the University of Charleston in Charleston, West Virginia. After we catch up with my good friend, Coach Osborne, we're going to be talking with Joe Stevens. Joe, of course, is everything all Nitro all the time. So Joe will be talking about the activities and events happening in Nitro the rest of this month and into the fall. And then we're going to conclude with another pretty good friend of mine, Amy Wolf. Amy is the executive director of Manameal in Charleston, and they have an event tomorrow, Saturday, at the Capital Market. One of my favorite events. I'm actually going to miss it this year, but I love this event. When you go over there and string green beans for Manameal. I did that a couple years ago with my mama and just had a blast. So sit back, relax, soak it all in. Lots of good insight, lots of good information coming your way. I lead things off. I look across the counter, and I see my good friend I haven't seen since last basketball season, Coach Dwayne Osborne, the head coach of the University of Charleston's men's basketball team. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Always love seeing you. Great to catch up.
Look at that smile, man.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
I think we have a little bit of the same chemistry. I love the energy in the room right now. And, of course, we do see eye to eye. We're vertically challenged, but we're not too bad. We're okay. We're right there where we need to be. But I want to talk with you a little bit about your leadership academy, but we've got about 20 minutes or so here, Coach. Let's talk a little bit about maybe, wait, is this your 11th year you're going to be the coach at the Golden Eagles?
That's correct.
How crazy is that to think about?
It's wild. We were talking about after the season, I was talking to my staff about it's been a decade. You know, it's like, hey, okay, I've tried to spend some time thinking about in this first decade, you know, how are things going and what do we want the second decade to look like and how can we make it even better?
Well, you've done pretty well in the first decade. I'm looking at some notes here, some of these I remember, but you've taken your basketball team to the Mountain East Conference Championship game about four times, I believe. You've been the coach of the year more than once, the only coach that has taken his team to the championship game four times. You're always competitive every year. You're right in the mix. You're right in the thick of things. And I just think that's such a tribute to your leadership and your recruiting skills and just adapting, because I've watched you adapt with different teams. You don't have the same team every year. You adapt to the players that are on your team. So talk about that recruiting and talk about the chemistry of your team and what you look for. I know you look for talented kids, but you look for kids that have high character as well. We're going to talk about some of that later too, but talk about your team chemistry.
Yeah, I think that's really one of the most undervalued things in athletics and building teams and really building organizations, companies, families, businesses, whatever you want to say, you know, is just the chemistry and the culture that you create. And so we spend a ton of time. A lot of my mind space goes to just that, those very things. And so, you know, I think leadership and leadership development's a super important part of our program. And I think what we're trying to do and what we're trying to build is really important. Obviously, obviously a lot of this is done through recruiting, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think everybody looks for, you know, can you dribble, pass, shoot, and you know, the skills of the game. But, you know, we try to watch, you know, other things. You know, what are you doing when you're on the bench? You know, how do you respond to coaching? What do you do when you come out of the game? What do you do after the game in the handshake line? And, you know, one of the things even we try to develop with our team that, you know, we really take great pride in is when the game's over, whether we're at home or on the road, we're going to shake hands. And when we're done, we're going back to the bench we were on, and we're going to pick up the cups and the towels and the shirts. And we're not going to leave that for somebody else to do. We're going to try to leave it better than we found it. And I think that's just one sample part of the overriding, you know, tons and tons of things that you're trying to do to build that.
Wonderful stewardship. We're talking with Coach Osborne, Dwayne Osborne, the head coach of the men's basketball program at the University of Charleston. This year, I'm not going to put all your, I'm not going to count my, what do you, how you say that, your chickens before the eggs are hatched, or, but you're going to hit 200 this year in victories. You're at 191 now. Your record at UC is 191 and 97. I know you don't believe you've lost 97 games. In your mind, you haven't lost a game because you win every game, or you take away a win from every game.
That's right.
But 191 wins, you want to hit 200. That's a doggone good record. Like I said earlier, you're always in the thick of things. Let's talk a little bit about maybe your journey before UC. Maybe the audience doesn't really know who you are. Talk to the audience, Dwayne, about, you know, your childhood, where you were raised, where you went to school, and your journey as a head basketball coach, and when maybe you thought, I think I'm going to do this for a living.
Yeah. So I grew up in Tennessee. I was born in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Newport News area. But I really grew up in Tennessee. That's where I would say I was from. We moved there when I was a kid, grew up there, and graduated from high school there. Went to 2 years of community college at Chattanooga State Community College. And then I finished the last 3 years at Clearwater Christian in Florida. And I really think probably late in my high school career, I really started thinking about that, you know, wanting to be a coach and just being drawn to that. And I was a little bit different. You know, I had coaches, most of them were really hard on me. I had maybe one that wasn't. And for me, I always just operated better with those guys that were after me a little bit. And so I don't know if that's, you know, it might be a criticism to me that I got to have somebody down my neck at times or whatever. But, you know, that was how I responded best. And I always loved it. I felt like they cared enough. They saw something there that they were going to just kind of grind on me a little bit. And so, you know, I went to college at Clearwater to finish up and worked for a Hall of Fame coach. You know, he coached in 2 national championship games, won 700 games. And just he's one of my biggest mentors to this day. Dale Wubinaw is his name. He's retired, and I still talk to him regularly and just love him dearly. And so was fortunate my last year of college, I went there to play. I got hurt, tore my rotator cuff. It was a small college. He didn't have any paid assistants, and he said, you know, you're wanting to do this, why don't you, while you're out, help me? Well, I did that for about 2 weeks, and I thought, like, I'm never playing.
I'm in.
Like, it was unbelievable.
I love it, Coach.
And so I did that, and in my last year there, he had a really good friend who was the athletic director and basketball coach at Tennessee Temple, and their Tennessee Temple's soccer team was coming to Clearwater to play, and their soccer coach got sick, and so the AD, who's also the basketball coach, came to fill in for the weekend. He's really close with Coach Wubinaw. They get together. We have lunch. I met him. He did a little practice thing with our team. And so I just kind of spent time with him throughout that day and met him. And then I think one of my probably few strengths, I don't have very many, but one of my few is that I feel like I'm a good relationship builder. And so when he left, I followed up with an email, a great meeting you. And then, hey, I see you're getting ready to tip your season off. Hey, great win here, there, whatever. And so a little bit later that year at the end of the season, and he gets the job, the guy at Tennessee Temple gets the job at St. Andrews College Division II. And so 3 days before I graduated from college, I got my first assistant job, went to North Carolina after graduation, and that's really how it started. And I spent 3 years at St. Andrews as an assistant, 3 years at Glenville as an assistant, and then the guy I was working for got out of coaching, went into private business, lives in Indianapolis, and I became the head coach at 29, second youngest head coach in the country at Glenville.
I knew most of that. I didn't know all the details. That's a true butterfly effect, and it really reinstates the culture that I try to live my life by. Is, you know, you don't necessarily have to knock on the door for your opportunity. Be prepared. An opportunity will knock on your door, and just be prepared. And another thing that you said that struck me is just the relationship building. Folks, you don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed. Just have a little bit of character, like people, respect people, do well with people, and like people. People are my favorite. I think people are your favorite as well. So you were at Glenville before you came to UC. Like I said, you've won 191 games the last decade. You're doing great. I would be remiss. We're going to talk about your Leadership Academy in just a moment, but I would be remiss if I didn't get maybe some thoughts on the Mountain East Conference. So just your thoughts on the Mountain East Conference as we segued from the WBIC and the MEC is probably 7, 8, 9 years now. Crazy how quickly that has gone to be almost a decade. So talk about the MEC, and then I want you to kind of finish up with just the sadness and just the heartache that our friends are going through with AB and your friend, your good friend Coach Dye.
Yeah, so obviously the Mountain East, it actually started, I entered it my first year.
So that was your year? Okay, so it has been 10 years.
10 years, MEC wow. Just finished the first decade as well. And so
you don't know the WBIC, you just heard about it.
Well, I know the WBIC from when I was an assistant head coach at Glenville.
Okay.
And then I left and went to Texas for 4 years as a head coach and then came back here. The MEC, I've been fortunate to be a part of it from the outset. And it's a great league. It's done really well. I think Reed Amos has done a great job really putting it together and facilitating it and administrating it. And so it's been fun and exciting. I think that was a part of my thoughts as I was evaluating and thinking about the decade. What have we been able to do and how many other things we're trying to do and want to do? And, you know, one of those things is, I do think I have some pride in what we're doing. You know, we're averaging almost 20 wins a year, and that's with a half a season cut out because of COVID. So, you know, and that was one of arguably our best teams. I think we were 14-3 that year, and we missed playing half the season, so you know, we would have hit the 200 mark already.
You haven't forgot about that, have you?
I never will.
Had a great team that year.
Yeah, it was tough. We finished 25-6, got cut short, and then the next year we were really good in a short season. So yeah. But you know, for us to be able to go to 4 championship games and to have as many all conference players as we've had 19 guys go on to play professionally, and so we've just been really fortunate. I've had great staff, great players, and so the league's great. It's going to be another great one this year. We're super excited, you know, about our team and hopefully the prospects of our season. And it's super sad what you said about Alderson brought us closing and just that situation. It's just a tough reality. And obviously, Steve Dye, their head coach,
you know him pretty well, right?
Know him really well. He's one of my former assistants.
Yeah.
And so I love him and appreciate him greatly. And just really sad to see, you know, that situation occur.
Your Leadership Academy. You started it, I think we were talking off air, you kind of started it kind of, I think, softly, quietly, kind of like a soft opening would if you were a business. Mm-hmm. Last year, you wanted a couple students, a couple kids to come out and be a part of that. Yeah, I think you were a little, wow, this is pretty good. We got more than we expected. So you did it again this summer. We're talking about Coach Dwayne Osborne, Leadership Academy. We've already had one under our belt this year. It was on July the 28th. He runs it for like 3 hours, 9 a.m. to 12 over there at the gym, right on campus, University of Charleston. You have another one coming up, August the 12th. Who is it for? Who do you encourage to come? What's it all about, Coach?
Yeah, it is. I feel like this is like my baby a little bit, you know. So if I can, if you'd be okay with it, let me just try to give you a quick brief on how this thing even came about.
We got time, brother.
Kind of crazy.
Got time.
So I... you know, it started because of two things kind of converging a little bit. And so I had something just kind of stirring in my bones a little bit, and I just didn't know what it was. I felt like, man, I'm supposed to be doing something. I couldn't figure it out. Two big events took place that really brought us to the Dwayne Osborne Leadership Academy. The first one, and I don't know if this is a first or second or if they're just kind of simultaneously, but the two events, the first one I'll talk about has to do with my son. And so Gavin, who just graduated from Cross Lanes Christian.
He's 17, isn't he?
Yeah, actually 18. And he's going to college at Cedarville. We're taking our first and oldest off here in about 18 days, and maybe 15 days. I'm not super thrilled about that.
I mean, he was just this kid running around.
It's crazy.
It's
crazy. So anyway, so, you know, like throughout his, I guess, middle school and high school, just his principal, his youth pastor, his coaches would say to his mother and I, you know, hey, he's got great leadership potential, or we see some capacity there to be a great leader in the future, or whatever those things would be. And so two things happened, both car rides, oddly enough, with just me and my son. And one of them, I was talking to him about something that one of the youth pastors had said about his leadership potential. And so I was saying, hey, these are some things you need to do, think about, whatever. And he's like, well, he's frustrated about it. And he's like, I didn't ask to be the leader. I don't want to be the leader. Like, I didn't sign up for that, right? So we're having that discussion. Fast forward, you know, another 2 years later, his high school coach is kind of saying the same things to him about, hey, we need you to do this. Need you to lead the team like this.
He played point guard, right?
Played point guard.
Usually a natural kind of a leader
role,
right?
Started as a sophomore.
Right, I remember watching him play, yeah.
And so we had a different car ride, and we were talking about that. And he was just really frustrated about, like, as we're having this conversation, he's like, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what they want me to say. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so my first, I had two thoughts immediately. My first thought was, I'm a terrible dad because my kid doesn't understand leadership stuff, what it is, all that.
And you're a leader.
And I was like, what are we doing?
You just thought he should have that osmosis.
Big F for dad. So that was my bad grade, first grade on the board, right? Second thing I thought was, not only am I a bad dad, I'm a terrible coach, because he sat on our bench since he's about 5 or 6. He's been in the locker room. He's been at practice. He's been on the bus. He's heard me give various speeches and talks to our team and other people. And like, how's this possible? So that was event one. The second event that's kind of going on at the same time is, we have, you know, our high school team camp started with about 11 or 12 teams when I got here. It is now, we had 30 this year with a wait list. And as that thing's grown, those coaches are here in the summer, and then so many of those coaches, you know, come to our practices, and they'll come in and watch practice, some of them 4, 5, 6 times throughout the year. Some of them bring their staff to watch practice. We have teams that have come, we had a team come from out of state and brought their varsity, junior varsity teams, as well as their staff. They had almost 50 people there to watch us practice. And so we have people in a lot, and I just can't tell you, Jim, how many times those coaches will say to me, you know, like, how do you get your guys to talk, and that kid looks like such a great leader, just how do you do that? And the other part of that would be, how many times they say, you know, Dwayne, if we had better captains, we'd have had a winning season. Or if our leaders were better, our seniors were better, whatever that would be, we would have won the state championship instead of losing the quarterfinals. Something to that effect. Those two things kind of converged.
You knew you had to do something.
Yes, and so here's what happens to me. I feel like there are elite camps that kids can go to. There's Little Eagles camps. There's father-son camp. You know, depending on all these different levels, there's team camps you can go to.
There's mom camps.
But I want to send my son to learn about leadership as an athlete. Where do I do that? And so we found kind of a hole there that nobody else has really jumped on. And so researched it a ton. We spent about 16 months, my assistants and I, developing the curriculum for what we now use for the Dwayne Osborne Leadership Academy, which we call DOLA for short. And so that was really how this thing was birthed. And right now it's for 9th to 12th grade boys.
Okay.
And, you know, I think like that when I talked to people about it initially, the first year when we had it last year, we just wanted to get 12, 15 people, kind of run as a test thing. Let's see how this thing
goes.
Had
more than that.
Yeah. And so we had, you know, 25 for one, 30 for the other, maybe even 35 for the other one between last summer and this summer. We're excited about the third one coming up. And it's for the coaches as well. They can stay. And so we've had, between the two that we've hosted so far, about 60 people, probably 10 coaches, 50 players. And, you know, it has been, I think, super impactful. I felt like, to be totally honest and transparent with you, Jim, I consider you to be a great friend, so I'm going to be super honest and blunt with you that maybe I wouldn't just do it with everybody. I thought it was going to be really good, and the feedback has been way better than I expected.
Isn't that special?
We are so excited about where this is at.
I just got another chill. So let me ask you, it's a three-hour curriculum, right? 9 a.m. to 12 is 3 hours. Do you play any basketball?
Zero.
I knew that was the answer.
Don't need your shoes. You can wear flip-flops.
It's
classroom.
It's a classroom.
It's classroom setting.
Do you do it in the gym or do you do it in a classroom?
We do it in a classroom. Okay. We give them a personalized notebook.
Okay.
Feed them a meal. And then we have this session, and we almost treat it like it's college morning session, where you have 9 to 9:50, 10 to 10:50, 11 to 11:50.
Perfect, yeah.
10-minute breaks.
Break.
And we approach it that way. Some of it's interactive. Some of it's lecture. There's a little bit of different approach to how we do it. And you know what I think is amazing? This is kind of a little side note about the Leadership Academy, but off. It is amazing to me, the teams and coaches that come watch us practice, the coaches who have come to this thing. We have two coaches who have They came last summer, and they came again this summer. And I said, it's the same session. Don't feel like you got to come. And they came anyway. And one of them spoke up at the end of this last session. He said, I was here last year, heard the same thing. And he said, I'm leaving with multiple new things that just hit me different. And we're talking about, you know, the head coach of Parkersburg South, who's in a state championship game. We're talking about Boyd County from Kentucky, who's 22, 23
wins. Well, you know this
year.
Coach. Students, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders, coaches, we're all in different parts of our journey.
That's right.
So you may come in as a sophomore and go, that was really good. You may come in as a senior and go, I forgot about that as a sophomore.
That's right.
I'm somewhere else. Now I am the senior leader. Now I've got to apply that Coach Dwayne Osborne is talking about, or what your staff is talking about. The coaches are different. You've grown. You know this too. I love this part. You can only grow as a coach when you get uncomfortable.
That's right.
So you got to get uncomfortable. If you're not a good leader, your leadership academy might go, I need that, but I'm not real comfortable with that. But that means you're growing as well.
Yeah.
So you're always in different spots of your journey. And I think that's, and I know you're really into leadership, and you like doing this thing. I remember addressing your team 4, 5, 6 years ago, and I did a little leadership thing for
that's right.
like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was great.
I love leadership too. One of the things I remember, I heard you speak at one of your 100 for 100 is that tip off banquet, and you mentioned your five H's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the chemistry. Is that part of your leadership academy, or is that just part of what you do with your team? And talk about your five H's.
Yeah, I think that's probably a little bit more team related. I'll talk to coaches sometimes from a leadership perspective and building your culture and developing your program about them. It is less about leadership academy and more about our team, our program, and building the chemistry and culture. But our five H's: honor, humility, hustle, hospitality. I think I actually might have flown through that a little bit. Honor, humility, hustle, hospitality, high capacity. Those are our five H's. And we feel like everything we do really comes and is birthed out of those five H's.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to talk about, even at practice, like, we didn't do this well. Why? Well, you really aren't living this core value out very well. And so for us, it's not just something that we throw on a poster or throw on a t-shirt and never talk about it again. It's not something that I just give in the recruiting presentation and they never hear it again. You know, we actually have a mission statement, which is Max the Moment. We have the five H's, and then we have taglines that summarize these. They're like our definitions mm-hmm. of what we how we look at honor and how we want to live that out. And our players have to know that. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a doghouse as a coach, but if I did, you want to get in it, that's it. Don't know one of those five H's. You know, coaches will come in and say, hey, I heard you speak at this or that. Can you remind me about the five H's? Or I missed the two taglines for this. Can you tell me about it? And I always say, hey, go talk to Keith Williams. Go talk to Tyler Eberhardt.
Some of his players, by the way.
That's right. Some of our players, right in the middle of practice, go over there and talk to them, pull them to the side, tell them you want to know about that. And if they can't tell them that, we're going to handle that later. And I always say, go talk to them, get their feedback, come back to me, then I'll answer any questions you have. But I want our players to know about it. But it's one thing to memorize something. It's another thing to live it out. And so for us, we have to be able to learn it, memorize it. That's stage one. But the understanding of how to live that out and how to apply that in your daily life, you know, what does it look like to not just memorize our definition of honor, but to live out honor? And that's how we go about trying to build our culture and our chemistry.
I love it. You're wearing your shirt today, Culture Matters. He's wearing his t-shirt, Culture Matters, with the UC logo on it. We are talking with Coach Dwayne Osborne, the head men's basketball coach at your University of Charleston. If you'd like to learn more or get signed up for Dwayne Osborne's Leadership Academy, we have one more session for that. It's August the 12th. It'll be next week. It'll be 9 a.m. to noon, a three-hour classroom Leadership Academy. Don't necessarily need your tennis shoes. Don't bring a basketball. We're talking basketball, but we're mostly talking leadership in the locker room. And this guy that I'm talking to right now is one of the premier leaders in the MEC and all across the nation. Email him if you're interested. DwayneOsborne. Dwayne Osborne at ucwb.edu. Dwayne Osborne at sign ucwb.edu. We could talk for... I'm going to ask you one more question. I know we've gone over just a little bit. You know, just hearing you talk and knowing you and watching your development the last 10 years. And folks, full disclosure, we haven't even said to Shep, I'm the public address announcer for all the home games that Dwayne coaches for the women and the men at the University of Charleston. So I really do have a front row seat, and I get to know the student athletes. I get to know the coaches. And also, full disclosure, I'm actually an adjunct professor at the University of Charleston, and I've had many of his student athletes, and he'll go, how are they doing? I go, yeah, they're doing really well, coach, or yeah, they need to pick it up a little bit. But he's all, but I say all that to say this. You're a basketball coach, and yes, you know the X's and O's, but boy, I think I marvel at you and I applaud you when you see the success of your players 5 and 10 and 6 years after they graduate. You stay in touch with them, and they're good fathers. They're good husbands, and they're good guys, and they're making a difference, and they have good work ethic. They're not going to, some of them don't want to play basketball after UC. You love that, don't you?
I love that.
I know you do.
So one of my favorite things is that I'll just pick a couple random people. So like Drew Rackley played here, was 2-time first team all conference floor, scored over 1,000 in just 2 seasons and was unbelievable for us. And one of my favorite things is he calls me, I feel like, after every practice. Like sometimes I'm like I don't even know how you know what's going on at practice, but you do. He calls me after every game. He'll send me a text. He'll email me like, hey, these are things you need to work on this drill. And I'm like, Drew, we are working on it. But you know, I love that he's so invested in it, you know. And the other person that I think about, Seth O'Neill, played, was starting point guard for 3.5 years. And you know, Drew and Seth were both great players, but they also were high IQ guys. They were super bought into what we were trying to do, both on and off the court, and they're so invested. And one of the things I talk to our team about every year, talk to every player, we have classroom type sessions that we try to work through, this is, I don't want you to be a UC Golden Eagle for 4 years. I want this to be your team for life. And I want you to be so invested that when you leave, you invested in the freshman when you were a senior, and you're like, whoo, I'm locked in for the next 3 years because I'm watching him, and I'm calling him, and I'm texting him, and I'm encouraging him. And those guys do that with our players, but they do that with me. And we, a super special moment I just throw in there this year with our team as we, well, I'm giving pregame speech before a game in February, and I look up, and I have 3 players that have played for me a total of 8 years of the 10 I've been here, and none of them played on the same team, standing in the locker room together right up there by the front wall. And I just thought, like, I just love that they come back, that they call, that they're involved, and that they care about what's going on. They're doing great, and I really love the opportunity just to invest in their life after the University of Charleston.
I love it. There he is. Again, I could talk with this guy. Well, I could listen to this guy for hours and hours and hours. That's all the time we have for on this segment of My Town, Your Town. One more time, Dwayne Osborne, Leadership Academy. He has one more left. It is for 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade boys.
Correct.
Young men. August the 12th is the next one. It'll be 3 hours, 9 a.m., 12 o'clock. Not necessarily basketball. It's a classroom leadership class. You'll learn a lot. There's a nominal fee for that, but email Dwayne, dwayneosborne@ucwv.edu. I tell you what, because I could listen to you and talk with you more, I'll have you back on, and we'll talk about your tip-off banquet right before the season starts. I know it's never off-season for you, but right now we're not playing ball, but we're getting pretty close to it, aren't we?
We're getting close.
So I'll have you back on. Is that a deal?
I love it. Thanks so much for having me on. Love your show. Love all you're doing for our community. We really appreciate it.
And there he is, Coach Dwayne Osborne with the University of Charleston. He is the head coach for the men's basketball program. A great segment. We have another great segment coming up in just a moment. We're going to take a short break. When I return, I'll be joined by a guy I've known a pretty long time as well. He's all things Nitro right now, Joe Stevens, and I shall be right back.
1410 AM, WSCW, and W272DW, 102.3 FM. South Charleston, an LM communication station.
The Pitch, Sports Bar and Grill in Dunbar and Kanawha City, would like to invite you to give them a try. And here are a few reasons why. The Pitch makes all their sauces in-house, whether it's wing sauces or delicious dressing for their salads. The Pitch carries a huge variety of craft beer with all of your West Virginia craft beer favorites. You can visit their one-of-a-kind crowler station and try their frost rail at the bar. The Pitch would like to announce that they're now offering catering for any size event. Visit them online for hours and more info. ThePitchWB.com.
Welcome back to My Town, Your Town on News Talk 102.3 and AM 1410.